on loneliness with Faith Group B. We appreciate all the work they did on that because they did a great job. They did all the heavy lifting on that seminar, and it was very good to be together to talk about the subject of social isolation and loneliness. We had Shalem, the same speaker that we had in October, Stephen Doucette Campbell, came and spoke about not only about, you know, are you lonely, but about how we can help those who are lonely. And he made the point that, you know, at different times, we're all trying to help somebody who's lonely, but we experience loneliness ourselves. And so he helped us through that journey, you know, of loneliness. And, you know, the weather has been dampening some of our efforts lately, I have to say, whether it's the Wednesday ladies' coffee break or the TOTS program or the seminar that we had. The weather has definitely been a factor in some of these things. But, you know, we had people drive all the way from Markham that night, even with the weather the way it was, to be here together to talk about this subject of loneliness. And that's why we're doing these other things, too. That's why we're doing the Older Adults Luncheon. That's why we're doing the TOTS program. And we continue to be encouraged by people that come because they want to experience community in some form. So in this week, we have the Older Adults program. We have a speaker from the local arts community, the Nielsen Park Creative Center. And we have many new people registered for that. So please consider coming and just hear what the local arts community also wants to do in this neighborhood, because, you know, we're working together on behalf of the neighborhood in that way. So we're encouraged by all of those things. Now let me ask you, is there anything that you would like to pray for this morning? Our dear God, we thank you that you are sovereign in all of our lives, the good and the bad and the planned and the unplanned. You are sovereign, and you love us. And you show us that you love us. And Lord, we do love you in our own failing way and faltering way. We love you. And we take joy in following you. So we thank you for the good that you have done here and the encouragement that you have brought to us of late. We thank you for the seminar and those that came. We thank you for the good work that was done and putting that together. And ask your blessing on Stephen Doucette Campbell as he reflects on it, the things he learned, because he too found it greatly encouraging. Continue to help him to reach people that need help, we pray. We thank you for our leaders that are working hard in this place. We thank you for all the work that they do. They encourage us as we see them working hard. Lord, some of them can't be here today because of burdens that they carry and travels they have to make. And Lord, we ask that you would bless them. Ask that you would connect them with us here this morning by your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would make their burdens light as they lead, and that you would continue to give them courage and faith to lead us in this place. Lord, we have many things that are on our hearts this morning, and we lift these before you now. When we see the note about in the bulletin about the church in Burma and the minister who was killed for preaching, Lord, we remember, first of all, how light is our burden here compared with that, and how great is the burden that many churches around the world carry. We ask your blessing on the church in Myanmar. We ask your grace upon them as they work through this now. We ask for faith for your persecuted church around the world. And Lord, as we see the picture of Kathy Vandercleet up here, when we see the news, We see the strife in Nigeria and Haiti and Venezuela and so many other countries. We pray for those countries, Lord, that you would restore peace and order to those countries. We pray for your church, that you would make it strong and that you would give it the resources to reach out in the midst of chaos and sometimes violence. Lord, we see tragedies closer to home. We saw the death of Rhea this week, which bothered us greatly. We saw shootings here in Etobicoke, which trouble us. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be people of peace and to be peacemakers and to promote your peace within these communities. We do ask for our leaders, our political leaders, that they too could do the right things to bring peace in our communities. Lord, closer to home, many of us are journeying with loss, for our own loss and loss of our family members. So we lift these people up before you and the other sufferings that we carry. We concern for our children who are sick, We think of Gare's son, Bert, and ask your grace upon him as he journeys with cancer. We continue to lift up William. We thank you for good news in the bulletin today about William, and we continue to pray for him that you would strengthen him in his young life through the journey of health that he and his family are on. We praise you that we could see Anne back with us today, and we thank you for her surgery. Thank you for progress for Lenny, and ask your blessing upon her. Ask your blessing upon Ish as he has his surgery this week, and that you would take him successfully through that. We pray for Judy's sister, Inika, that you would help her heal her eye and give her back the use of her eye. And many others, Lord, who perhaps remain unnamed, that we pray for now. We lift them up now before you and ask that you would be gracious to them, that you, Lord, the healer, would heal them, and that you would give us all faith as we pray for our loved ones. Finally, Lord, we pray for open doors in this neighborhood. We pray that we might be your church. We pray that we might show your love in this neighborhood. As we look forward to new things, we thank you for the way you answered prayers for the loneliness seminar. We thank you for good news that came out of that seminar even the next day as people that attended were reaching out to lonely people. We rejoice in that. We thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for the pancake dinner that's coming up. We thank you for that. And we ask that many neighbors will join us just to be together, that we might share this simple meal together and give credit to you for the good that you bring in our lives. So for all these things, Lord, we're very grateful, and we thank you humbly. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is a pleasure to be with you this morning, and we're going to look at one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And as I prepared it to share with you, it was funny because my wife goes, "You better pay attention to what you're saying, because this was our wedding text." John writes the letter before us. He's probably in Ephesus at this time. It's about 85 to 90 AD. And the message and the reminder of the murder of Cain is before them. And he's saying, don't be like that. It's there that our passage picks up. 1 John 4:7 to 12. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." So far, the reading of God's word. I want to play with you with a video blog conversation that somebody named Simon Sinek has given. Simon Sinek is a guy who's a lot on the internet. He asks the question of why. He really wrestles with the issues around millennialism. And he begins this way, and he asks the question, "Do you love your wife?" Of course I love my wife. But then he asks the question, prove it. Give me a number. Give me a metric that proves that you love your wife. Tell me the day. Tell me the moment. Tell me the hour that you knew that you fell in love with your wife. You can't, can you? It just doesn't happen like that. Follow the logic. Now, I am working through this video exercise program, you can laugh, called Beachbody. And this is 20 minutes a day of exercise. And there is a diet that goes along with it. I can eat almost everything, but in the right proportions. Based on my weight, I need to drink about 11 glasses of water a day. Now, picture I did that yesterday, and I did. And I got up this morning, and I stepped on the scale, and I didn't see any results. Oh, I got to do it again today. It's every day. So I'm going to exercise, I'm going to eat right, I'm going to drink 8 to 11 glasses of water today. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to step on the scale. And if I haven't lost weight, I might as well quit, right? Because it's just not working. Take that back to my relationship with my wife. I bought her flowers. I stop at Starbucks and I get her a chai tea latte, non-fat, half sweet, no water, extra hot, and she doesn't return saying that she loved me. What's the point? It just doesn't work. Now, if you believe this morning that there's something about the commitment and the ongoing effort of not only loving my wife, but exercising, you know that there's going to be times where it doesn't go well. There's going to be times where you're going to screw up. There's going to be times where you let somebody down. But if you keep on going on, you know that something's going to happen. It's really about the consistency, isn't it? Look at it another way. I was talking to a hygienist in our church. Now, maybe you've been told that if you don't go to the dentist, your teeth are going to fall out. Where the reality is you need to brush your teeth twice a day and floss twice a day for 2 minutes at a time for brushing your teeth and flossing to have any effect. The same is true with my beach body exercises. When I do it every day, and when I eat right every day and drink the 8 to 11 glasses of water, I'm already down 3 pounds in the last month and a half. The same is with my relationship with my wife. Now, you don't know my wife, but she didn't fall in love with me because I'm charming, and I am. I really am charming. But you know what? My wife didn't fall in love with me because I bought her flowers once. My wife fell in love with me and stays in love with me because every morning I say good morning and I give her a kiss before I check my cell phone. When I go out to my favorite place called Starbucks, I'll bring her home her favorite drink, the chai tea latte, non-fat, half-sweet, no water, extra hot. So when she comes home, there's a treat. She stays in love with me because when I know she's had a rough day and I've had a great day, I don't talk about how great my day was, but I talk more about how hard her day was. And I listen. It's the accumulation of all those things that are the metric, are the proof that I could say to Simon Sinek, I love my wife, and here's how it's revealed. Let me try it into the text. Do you love God? Prove it to me. What's the number? What's the metric that will prove that you and I love God? If in fact we follow all the commands of God, which are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and he says, love your neighbor as yourself, and you fulfill all that's contained in the law. We got to ask the second question. Do you love your neighbor? What's the number? What's the metric? What's the proof that you and I love God and love our neighbor? A woman was surprised one day when she went to church. And a woman who was a thorn in her flesh, who never had anything nice to say about her, came to church one day and gave her a hug. The service went on. And near the end of the service, she found out why. The minister went on and he said, "I want you to go love somebody that you have a hard time loving. If only it were that easy, that you and I could go in, give a hug, walk away, and say, I've loved God and I love my neighbor." The heart of the issue really is in our text the fact that we put someone else before ourselves, that we act purposefully, sacrificially for the eternal well-being of others. John never seems to tire of it. John, originally known as one of the sons of thunder, would create a storm, it is said, when he would enter into a room. Ever know somebody like that? When they enter a room, chaos seems to come underway. The tension in the room begins to rise. And then this son of thunder has this encounter with God and comes to faith, and he no longer is this guy of discord, but he is one of love and of unification and of community, and he's a story of a changed man. Love characterized everything that the author of our book lived out in his life. In fact, Jerome is recorded to say that at the end of John's life, he could no longer walk into a room and he would need to be carried. The very author of our text, as he would carry on, would say at the end of every service, "Little children, love one another." When asked why he said that over and over and over and over again, almost to the people wanting to say something different, Jerome records the words, "Because if you love God and you love your neighbor, you've done everything that Christ asked." Did you catch our text? John says, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. It's not my message. It is the message of Jesus himself. It is the overriding story of the gospel. Love one another. And then he says this earlier in the book of John itself. "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." Catch this. "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It is as if John is saying, you want a marker, you want a report card by which the world can look at and say, these are the followers of Jesus. Love me and love one another. That's how everyone outside the doors of Rehoboth Fellowship will be able to know whether you are a follower of Jesus. Outside of the doors of Community Church of Richmond Hill, as we go out after this service, by which the world will be able to tell that we are followers of Jesus. Caecilius, the church historian, once wrote, "They know each other," that is the church, "by signs and marks, and they love each other before they even fully know each other." Lucian said of the early church, "It is incredible to see the fervor with which the people of this religion help each other. They spare nothing." Or think of Tertullian, who says, "It is our care for the helpless, our loving kindness that marks us in the eyes of our opponents." Tertullian goes on to say, "Look at how they love one another. They're willing to even die for one another." Love God and love one another. Did you know that psychologists will tell us that you can actually become more beautiful by being loved? It is said that your heart rate goes up when you are loved. Your face begins to glow. Your lips look more red. The circles under your eyes become less and less noticeable. Heightened emotions of love cause your pupils to dilate so that your eyes are brighter and clearer. Just as Huey Lewis used to sing, "This is the power of love." But there's only one who has truly and fully revealed to us what it means to love. And yet we see it, don't we, in everyday stories? Stephanie Decker from Indiana in 2012 had a tornado sweep through her town. She was in the home with her children, and as the tornado swept right by her house, she threw her children to the ground, and she threw her body over her children. Debris began to fall on her house. Several of her ribs were broken. One of her lungs was punctured. Her legs were nearly severed in the accident. Her children untouched. She was rushed to the hospital, at which time both of her legs were taken off. We don't fully comprehend the depth of that story. But there is one whose story becomes even more evident and relevant for us. And his name is Jesus. Jesus was willing to give his life for us. In fact, as he went to the cross, he said, "I love you this much. Purposefully, willingly, sacrificially, I will give every ounce of my breath and my life that you may know that you are loved and you will be saved." John says this is how we know what love is, in that Christ laid down his life for us. What a beautiful picture, not only in his death, but in his life. You have the story of Jesus who stood for justice and for mercy. He is the one who crossed the racial divide. He crossed the cultural divide. The social divide, the divide between the genders. All for you and for me. We have good news. Because he has given us that marker by which we can look at to see where our faith is in him. And we're not always going to do it perfectly. Maybe you're better than I am, but I don't always love my wife the way I should. I don't always exercise as often as I should. But that constant, ongoing, regular routine helps not only build my relationship with my wife, but my health. And there's things that we can do to nurture our walk with God, to help us learn to continue to love God and to love our neighbor. So what can you do to nurture that in your story this morning? In loving God, you're doing that this morning. You're here together as the community of faith. We can nurture that love for God by praying together. Some of us did this morning, as you may do at your home, by opening your Bibles and doing devotion. That ongoing, constant routine helps us grow in our walk with God. Because we get to know God the more we spend time with him. So people of God, as we want to love God more, let's spend time with him. As you love the church, can I encourage you, if you don't already do so, to pray for your elders and your deacons, to pray for Mark, to encourage your leadership, to be involved in the life of the church if you're not already. And to give. Love God and love each other. That loving each other also ties in to you being here this morning. Forgive each other often. Listen to each other's stories. Pray together. Enjoy a meal together. Spend time with each other outside of your time of worship. Get to really know somebody else's story. Because as we love God and we love each other, you're going to be able to love Etobicoke a whole lot better. What an exciting thing you were sharing, Pastor Mark, about the group that you had on loneliness, as the group that you have with for the seniors that is coming, that art person that's coming. What a wonderful opportunity you have as a community to connect with the apartment buildings next door. You know what one of my favorite things to do as I think about loving the neighbor is I go to my favorite restaurant twice a week, simply just to build relationship with people. And one of my favorite things to do is I ask for the same waitress every time. It started out like this. Is this your dream job? We walk through the story. And then it walked in a little bit farther. Is what are you looking for out of life? We're now 3.5 years in. It's easy for you to do as well. And then came the point about 3 months ago. She was a Muslim lady who goes, can I ask you for some advice? And we walked into the story of faith. Maybe it's you going to the person at the grocery store, getting the same person to check you out every time and just start to build a relationship. You can't do it today, but tonight we're getting more snow. But what if when you build snow, you start to interact with some of your neighbors? Maybe you help them shovel their driveway. Maybe you simply have a conversation. It all begins by you and I just having relationships with our neighbor. Here's what John says. Love God with all that you are. And by God's grace, he'll help us to do that. And as we love God, our natural inkling, because of the working and the moving of the Spirit of God, will to love his church, and you're the church, and to love the neighbor. And be surprised at how God's going to create opportunities for you to share the good news of the gospel. Let's pray together. It is easier said than done, O God, to love you with all that we are. When everything around us tells us to look after ourselves, when everything around us vies for our attention, that it is so easy to push you out of the story of our day. We pray, O God, that your Spirit would move in such a way, in such a powerful way, that we would hunger and thirst for your word, that we would hunger and thirst to be shaped and molded to day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, year by year, decade by decade, to be shaped more into your likeness, until that glorious day when we will see you face to face. And Lord, in a society and a culture where we put up high fences and big doors, that in the story of the lives of your church, which is not a building but a people, when they leave their places of worship, when we leave Rehoboth Fellowship this morning, that people would see grace in action. That when they look at the story of our lives, that they would say, there's something different about Rehoboth Fellowship. And that people begin to inquire, that you begin to open the doors, that you begin to create opportunities for us to be a blessing. Thank you for loving us so much that you not only came, that you died, that you were buried, that you rose again, that you ascended to heaven. Thank you that you poured out your Spirit because you loved us so much. But thank you also, Lord, that one day you are coming again, and that we as your people will be able to live with you for all of eternity. And may we as your church be a radiant testimony to grace in action as we seek to live out our faith. What's the metric? The metric is seeing that in every moment of our lives are all for Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
of God as you prepare to go and continue to be the church in this coming week. Know that you do not go alone. God is with you and God goes with you. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Alleluia. Amen.
Amen.